Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How bleak are things for the Cubs after they lost again to the Mets? Keeping their magic number at 2 and seeing Shota Imanaga get knocked around. Is Imanaga still in line to start a playoff game?
Things are bleak. That's a good word. But they are in the playoffs. They are in the playoffs. Let's not get carried away. And I feel confident that they're going to be at home, but they're just letting it go way too long. And it's annoying. It's just annoying. Just get it over with. And then you can kind of kick back and wait and start on Tuesday. You get like the whole restart on Tuesday. It's Friday. It's September 26th. And this hasn't been clarified. Because you've been losing 6 of the last 7 games? Ridiculous. Unacceptable. Win today, and then let them lose, and then you're done. It's over. And then we can all have, you know, seashells and balloons and parties and everyone be happy. But the fact that it's taking this long is just going to annoy you and it's going to bother you. I didn't like hearing what I heard from Craig Counsell yesterday on Cade Horton, that it didn't sound great to me. And the idea that he would have stayed in the game if it was a playoff game. The question now isn't whether he'd stay in the game if he started a game. The question now is whether you can start him in a game. Now you have more information. Is there any chance of any damage or anything going awry? It is a serious thing. As far as Shota is concerned, he is not starting a game. And if I'm putting together the rotation, he's not. He, would I use him out of the bullpen? I would have to see what he looks like just warming up and doing stuff. I would at this point say no. I don't think there's a place for him right now. That may be a huge insult, but the numbers don't lie. The guy's 3-7 in his last 10 starts. He's allowed runs in the first inning, 5 of his last 6 starts, and he's given up the long ball at far too much a rate. You just can't live like that. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of him right now, and I don't think he's... You know, form matters. I'm a big man for form. I like looking at people and how they're playing, and I think that clues you in as to how they're going to play. And his form of late, you wouldn't bet on him if he was a horse. Let's put it that way.
It is pretty bleak, but I would still go with Shota. It's just because of the fact that we don't know the status really fully of Cade Horton. Like, you hear some good news, but then you kind of hear like in between the negative, in between that. So I know he's been 3-7 of late. I know he's been struggling. I would still have him as probably my game 3 starter. It really depends on how the series is going. I feel like if they're behind, then I probably would switch. Maybe Tyon will go in. But if they're ahead, I would probably go with Shota. And I think he needs a confidence booster at the same time. It's just tough because of the injuries that's happened with their starting pitchers. And right now, outside of Matthew Boyd, I mean, I would have to go with Shota right now.
You, sir, are wrong. I don't know how you do that. I don't know how you can go to Shota. I'm just kidding, Brandon. But I, you're not wrong. It's just your opinion. And I don't think that you look at the last 10 starts and you can really look at a three-game series. Here's what I do agree with. If it were a 5 or 7 game series, I would have fewer concerns. But in the playoffs, you have to be what we have been throughout the course of the summer. You have to be a prisoner of the moment. You have to be in the moment, and you have to make the right decision to get you through that specific day. And so let's say hypothetically, Cade Horton still starts game one and Matthew Boyd starts game two, and the piggyback options in each of those starts for those starters are Jameson, Tyone, Colin Ray. I think then maybe you look at Shota in game three as a necessity out of desperation, but I think that if you had to pencil in your game three starter, it would be Jameson Taillon or maybe Colin Ray. They really like him and he's been good of late. So you want to ride the hot pitcher, and Shota is anything but hot. So it's one of those things where it's unfortunate, because there have been times this year where he has been referred to rightly as the ace. You want to give him that respect, but you also can't ignore the results. And if Craig Counsell is only concerned with getting outs in the playoffs, as he should be, Shota Imanaga is struggling to get outs. It was not very good last night. The same things continue to plague him. Fly balls become home runs too easily. So no, I would not have him in my playoff rotation as of now, because the first series that you play is a three-game series. And I would have zero confidence in Shota Imanaga taking the mound in game three if it's tied 1-1. Would you feel like that's the day the Cubs are going to win? I think not.
Well, who's your three right now? What's your three?
Horton, Boyd, Tyone.
In that order?
Yes.
Horton game one?
Yes.
Mully?
I don't think he's going to be available for game one.
Wow, that's a great question.
How do you interpret Craig Counsell's update on the Cade Horton situation?
Cade is on track still. You know, there's some areas of concern in the ribs and in the MRI. We're going to continue to get more information on it and see where that leads us, use time on our side. But right now, Cade is a go, and he's not going to, we gave him today or yesterday and today off of throwing. He's going to start throwing again tomorrow, and we're just going to continue to gather information on it. And as the days go on, we'll gather more information and see where we're at.
Cade Horton, what are you guys expecting with the Cubs no longer stopper? Absolutely need him. What are you guys thinking so far with that update?
I think that it's open for interpretation. I could see how you would listen to that and think, oh my gosh, something in his ribs? Well, the ribs are connected to the back and connected to, oh my gosh. And then you could hear maybe what you want to hear is like, well, if he had to go tomorrow, he's going to go. He's a go. He's a go. So if it means he's a go, if the playoffs started on Monday, he's a go. I want him to go. So I think if you want him to go, he's going to go. And if you want him to stay, he's going to stop. But I don't know that there's any definition or certainty. It's too big of a gamble, or it's more of a risk than you would like it to be. But I would take it. I would take it because going back to the other night, I think they have operated with understandable caution here. And they have been very, very careful. Oh, we're not sure. He feels okay. Let's take a closer look. And I think if you take a closer look at anything, you could find it. So hopefully they didn't find a reason not to start him. Hopefully the bullpen goes well today, but there's a lot more hope involved than maybe evidence. I'd like to have both after Cade Horton throws today.
See, it's too much back and forth a little bit when it comes to this. First, you know, when he first got hurt, he was like, oh, it was just a cough. You know, we just want to be careful. Okay, then we hear MRI. Then after that, like, oh, but he'll be okay for the playoffs. If it was the playoffs, he's going. Then it's like, we got to see. We're going to run some tests. He's going to pitch tomorrow. I know they're being careful with him. I understand that. And if they say if the playoffs started today, he's going. But to me is like, for how long? You know, like, he's there for just what he starts, and then it's a couple of innings, and then what? Does that make you feel good? No, it doesn't. I'd rather him be healthy as possible. So that's why I'm concerned. Even I'm with you though, David. I would have him start. I think I would probably, at the rate they're going, he probably would be my game one starter. I was bouncing between game one and game two, but probably, because I'm just saying, if they're down, I don't know if I would trust if they're down 0-1 and then you want to go with Cade Horton in game two with the injury concerns with that. I think I'd rather have him game one and then have Boyd, then you can go whatever with game three. It's just concerning, and I'm hearing it. You know, there's just something there, and they just want to make sure that he's really right before he goes out there again, especially for the playoffs.
You want to talk about mixed news. That's what yesterday was with him, and that happens sometimes with medical stuff. So you would hope for clarity. There was no clarity yesterday. There was no clarity the day before. He didn't say that he would start if they were in the playoffs. He said he would have stayed in the game.
He would have stayed in the game.
That's what he was talking about. Yeah. If it was a playoff game, they would have gone. They would have stayed with him.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But clearly, he said something, because how would they know that he was having like a rib issue and something was not feeling good? Oh, I'll be okay. But I'm just letting you know. Clearly, they saw something, or he said something. But the beauty of this one is, it wasn't like the guy kind of clutched at his side and went and had to be helped off the mound. So it becomes really kind of this uncertainty. But the very fact that the manager said that there was something on the MRI, if that doesn't bother you, then you didn't listen to what the man said. He said, as of right now, he's full go right now. They're going to have him throw today, and they got an outside doctor. Medical opinion. So what does that mean? Is that him looking for a different diagnosis? Is that them admitting, well, we can't see anything, we're not sure, so we'll bring a guy in from the outside?
It's an impartial juror.
Well, whatever it is, it's disconcerting. It is concerning.
Hello, Dr. Sutcliffe. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, it is just, yeah, exactly. They'll get someone that has some bias toward them. I'm just saying, you know, what exactly are you looking for today? And right now he's still full go, but will that be the case after he throws tonight?
Yeah, I think that it's a fair way to look at it. And the Cubs, frankly, have had some situations and decisions that they've made lately that make you feel like, well, I'm more curious about this.
They should Mark Pryor come in and look at him.
Kerry Wood.
Now that's a guy that would know, huh?
Doctors Wood and Pryor. Doctors Wood and Pryor, please report to the pitching mound.
Dodgers pitching coach. Well, that's it, right?
There you go. That's what I'm saying. So I'm not trying to create any kind of chaos or any kind of panic.
Did you see what Pryor did with Kershaw? I mean, come on.
Turned him into Capriola, yes. Too. And by that, I mean also.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Spiegel and Holmes.
So I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes. Chicago.
Afternoons on The Score.
No Bears.
That's right, Nico. Your team by default.
the Bears.
Yesterday, he said that he'll be rooting for the Bears over the Raiders.
All his team, because they moved.
He's a jilted Raiders fan. They left when he was a kid. Just a little pissed off, but really just little.
I like that there's still a little bit of meatball with Nico when it comes to the Bay Area. Like, that's still a thing for him. Like, whether he's talking about the Raiders or the A's, like, there's still a little bit of,
yeah,
I have been deserted by the teams that I grew up loving.
There's a sense of justice and fairness about Nico that he gets strong-minded about things that he thinks are a certain way. I loved talking with him in person yesterday with Mark Grody and Marshall Harris. And as we asked him a question and he mentioned something about Ian Happ, I felt the need to follow up because I knew you guys were going to talk to Ian. It's been a very cool thing on Tuesdays the last few years to have Nico and Ian, who have a great relationship. So I love that as you were prepping for your show, our show, with Layla, you heard Nico talking about Ian, knowing full well that you had Ian coming up. No, you got it, right? Set it up. You tell us.
No, I just wanted to share that we could go right to it. I couldn't have said it better myself. This was Nico talking about the lineup construction, and those two guys are the two guys that have been here the longest. They know each other the best out of this group. So this is Nico talking about he and Hap being 1-2 or 2-3 in a lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I also want to, you know, the flip side of hitting first or second is you're also on base for the best hitters in your lineup, and you know, the ability to steal a base in front of your best hitters or score runs. So you just want to be a part of runs, whether you're scoring them or knocking them in and being in the middle of that. It is fun hitting back-to-back with Ian when we have, just because I feel like throughout the years we've kind of paired nicely together with our skill sets. And, you know, we're very different players, but I think complement each other well. So we've just had a good feeling for things over the years, the two of us, and I like when we hit back-to-back. A switch hitter, so he matches up well with everybody, but he's been more, you know, slugging on base, based, and I've been more contact and just hits. And so I also feel like he's got a good feel for when I want to run and is able to take pitches and be comfortable getting deeper into counts when I need to do that. And then just straight up, just kind of memories and randomness and things that we've had. And you know, it used to be we would hit 8th and 9th, like in 2020 some, and even when I was called up, I remember being on base for some of his homers, so just good memories.
That part where he's talking about stealing bases, I think is really important, because there are guys that don't like it, and you've got to figure out whether or not the batter behind you is okay with, one, when you take off inside of a count, two, whether you're going to mess around with the pitcher a little bit, because you can catch some of that out of, and you don't want it to be distracting. Notoriously, like, there are players that have been like, I don't want guys stealing. And if you are going to steal, then steal on the first pitch of the at bat, so I can concentrate on the at bat and not what you're doing out there.
But you know how Ian is at the plate. That's why it's such a good fit. Like, Ian likes to take his time, likes to see a lot of pitches. And even more so when he's got a guy who can run. So you're prepping and you heard that.
Prepping and I heard that. So we had it down as a thing that we were going to ask Ian about. And it was good to be back with Ian, because on the midday show with Dan and I, like, we talk to him every week. And he's a very thoughtful guy. I think he and I are wired very similarly. So it was comfortable to kind of get back into a conversation with him. And this is what he said when we told him about Nico. Nico was on middays today, and he said that he really likes when you guys hit back-to-back because of your different skill sets. How would you describe the two of you in a lineup together?
I love it. I think we've done it for a long time. We did it quite a bit in 2020 as well. And at the beginning of that year, we were hitting like 8-9 together, or 7-8 together. And it was, you know, right after we had lived together, and we joked about our friends, Dakota and Zach, who were hosting the compound with us, joked about, you know, us making stuff happen when we're next to each other. And then we got a nice stretch from 21 to kind of through 23 of getting to do that quite a bit, whether he was leading off or hitting two hole and I was hitting three. I've been so lucky to hit behind him quite a bit and he's one of the best base runners in baseball. And take away the stolen bases, just his ability to score from first on a double, his ability to score from second on a single. I've just gotten to watch that so much. And I have a pretty patient at bat. So when he's on base ahead of me, you know, I give him chances to take bases quite a bit, because I do tend to have longer ABs. And then I know if I hit a ball in the gap, he's going to score. And you saw that in Cincy against Lodolo. Like, I hit a double with there was nobody out or one out, and it was he's flying around the bases, great read on the ball. He's just so good at that. And so he's right. Our skill sets complement each other. Just, you know, his ability to get on base, to run the bases, and, you know, kind of the patient at bat and the chance for an extra base hit. We've just been really productive when we're hitting around each other. So it's been one of my favorite things over the last 6 years, five or six years we've been together.
That is outstanding. The two of them talking about each other. And think about it. If you're watching that game last night, Nico scores from first on an Ian Happ double to the gap.
Yeah. Ian's had a pretty strong September, by the way.
I know he has. But like, Nico, did you, if you're watching last night, Nico screams after he rounds second. They showed the replay, and Boog just laughed. It was an awesome laugh, because Nico just screams, and Boog going to break is like, we should just have a camera on Nico when he's running the bases, because he's so much fun to watch.
Well, we're both fans of it, and we, since we have Nico on every week, we talk to him a lot about this. The Cubs is a team, and Nico is at the front of that. I don't mean just fast, because they've got guys that are fast. They're good at running the bases. They're really, they, what I think is striking about the 2025 Cubs is both base running offensively and defensively. The idea that you have guys that are good at first to third, second to home, first to home, in case of balls hitting the gap.
Yeah.
And you have a pitching staff that thrives on getting people out on the bases, that they take a lot of pride in it. They lead the league in it. It's fascinating to me that those two things are synced up. Like, ideally, like, if we use football to talk about baseball, the offense and the defense are completely synced up on this one thing that the team does very well. It's very cool to see it. It's one of those fundamental things that we talk about, but we don't give enough love to. So hearing these guys talk about that
is really cool.
Is great.
So this brings to mind one of my favorite trivia questions, favorite baseball trivia questions, because the idea of Happ driving in Nico a lot, I have it in front of me. It is the two players, the batter has driven in the base runner with an RBI more than any pair of teammates in the history of baseball. The leaders were George Brett and Willie Wilson of the Kansas City Royals in the 80s, that Brett had driven in Willie Wilson the most. And then that record was broken. And if you're out there, I bet you it will be intuitive once you think of it. What batter has driven in his teammate as a base runner more than any pair of teammates in the history of the game?
Stanton driving in Judge?
That's a fun answer, but no.
A-Rod driving in Ichiro?
No. It's another good thought.
Anyone hitting behind Ricky?
No. Ricky not in the same place long enough. These are two teammates who were together a long time, and one of them consistently hit either just in front of the other or like first and third. I think that's how they hit for most of their career. One of them was leadoff. The other was a three-hitter. And they played together for a long, long time.
Oh, no, I don't want to jump the line here. Alex, you got one?
No, please jump the line. Nothing's coming to mind.
Johnny Damon, Manny Ramirez?
No, that's fun.
Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna?
No. This is a little bit older, but a long, long time together. Both, I think both Hall of Famers. I think they are. Yeah, they are.
Wow. Frank Thomas and Robin Ventura?
No, but that's fun, though, because I could see that, one hitting in front of the other. Let's see if a texter has it. Looking. No, nobody there yet.
What decade?
90s into the 2000s.
Lofton and Ramirez?
No, it's good. Get set. It's the right era. They played against a local in the World Series.
Oh. Bagwell and Biggio?
Jeff Bagwell has driven in Craig Biggio more than any one man has driven in another in the history of the game. Doesn't that make sense when you think about it?
Well, we weren't far off, because anytime you have a Jeff Bagwell thing, then you have to talk about Frank Thomas, because their birthdays are the exact same day.
Oh, that's right.
And their numbers are pretty much the same, too.
Yeah, so that's good. So Bagwell is driven in Biggio. I love that kind of question. I have other ones.
Any
like
more
that.
Brain busters?
Why, yes. Yes, I do. You want more? No, you don't want more. Because I got one.
Wait, I got another one. Right. Luis Robert Jr. and Eloy Jimenez?
I was going to say Adam Eaton and Jose Abreu. No.
There it is. A lot of Bagwell and Biggio out there. Rosen Bench is a fun one. Trammell and Whitaker. Longtime teammates. Chipper and Andrew Jones. Those are good guesses out there.
Ooh, Chipper and Andrew. That's a good one.
That's real
call.
Good. Jeter and Bernie Williams. Right. Those kind of things. But it's Biggio and Bagwell.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. Oh my gosh, Ron, there is a lot of civic panic going on. I don't know if the Cubs are aware, but people are getting antsy.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yep, I was there last night. There were 40,000 antsy people there last night. I understand. It's one of those things. It's kind of the way baseball is this year, right? I mean, we've got a lot of turbulence, you might say, in our game this season.
So big picture, Ron, let's say that the Cubs do, lack of a better term, limp into the playoffs and maybe maintain home field advantage. As a veteran, what is the connection between the play for a team in the last week to 10 days of a season and playoff success or failure? And how do you think that will apply to this year's Cubs?
So say that again. As a veteran,
Do you think that there's any correlation between the way the Cubs have struggled and the way they're going to play in the postseason?
There is some correlation, but you could make a case for either way. You really can. And that's the thing, you know, that you just don't know until you get in there. You know, a couple of years ago when Texas won the World Series out of the wild card, talk about limping in. They had to win on the final game and lost the lead, and teams all caught them and passed them. And then they win on the final day of the season to get in. And then Bochy, they run the table and they win the World Series a few years ago. So there's precedent both ways. So you just don't know. I would say for everybody feeling good, you know, you would like to be the 2016 Cubs rolling into the playoffs, you know, on a high and going in and thinking, you know, we got this. And, you know, even it took 10 innings of game 7 to win it all. You know, you felt pretty good. I think right now you're seeing some light at the end of the tunnel and some positive about the offense. But I think you're also dealing with some injury issues that are creeping up that always do. And then some performance issues that are always creep up at this time of the year. And you got to deal with.
Okay, so let's talk specifically about some of that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with Kyle Tucker, a positive story. He's back as a DH tonight. What do you look for
tonight, when you watch him play, what is it that you're looking for in terms of his at-bats, his ability to run, etc.?
First of all, I think we'll look at his ability to run. Two days ago, maybe even three days ago, at the start of this series, this past series against the Mets, I watched him run, and he looked, I would say, okay. A little on the gingery side of, you know, starting and stopping, you know. The calf thing is so anyway, that's where he was. He seemed a little better in the final day of the series running around. That looked better, so positive. Once he gets past that part in the games that I'll be watching, then it goes right to his swing. Timing. Is he on time? He doesn't have to get hits. He doesn't have to hit home runs. Is he on time? Is he squaring up the baseball? Is he using the middle of the field? Or is his timing element in his approach really off? Because he's not going to get minor league rehab starts or anything like that to go down and get at bats. So he did hit yesterday live on the field. So he has done a little bit of that. I don't necessarily think he has to, you know, I don't make a big deal of that. Getting extra bats, just go play. You're a longtime big leaguer that's been a star in the league. Go play, figure it out. If he's going good, he's going to be good. That's just the way I look at that.
I like the way you look at that, Ron. I think it's a very practical way to look at that with Kyle Tucker. Now let's do Cade Horton. When you hear Craig Counsell talk about what he saw in the MRI or what the Cubs saw and how it was a rib issue, but yeah, we're going to go on and we're going to continue. How did you interpret that? Because I think it depends on maybe what you want to hear, what you heard.
I may change my – can I talk to you at about 11 instead of –
See, that scares me, Coon. That scares me, Coon.
Yes.
Before, I'll tape his manager's show in a couple hours from now, and then I'll know a lot more. But I would say from what we've all heard, and I have not talked to Collins, obviously, you know, we heard that information. Now I'm going to meet with him in a couple hours, all the broadcasts, and I'll do his manager's show. But, you know, you get a better feel. Ed, is there really something there? Is he going to pitch? I mean, he's kind of lined up to be our number one starter. So that's an issue.
There's so concern's appropriate.
Concern, I would say, is appropriate. It could be nothing, but it could be something. I just, to be 100% on it, I don't know. He came out in the third and said he could have continued pitching. Now you send him out for an MRI. That doesn't happen every day. So I'm hoping that he's 24 years old and he's just fine and he's going to go out and deal on Tuesday. That's what I hope.
Same.
Ron Coomer on The Score is sponsored by Huntington, home of early pay. More at huntington.com/yourmoney. Let's move on to Shota Imanaga. Where does he fit into your circle of trust?
He is having some issues right now. And I think there's a key word that you just said, Mike. I think the word trust.
Mm.
I feel like the word trust for him personally, trusting his stuff. I saw a guy last night getting away from his normal plan a little bit and trying to figure out what that little variation is going to be to get him off, get the Mets off some of his pitches. His split yesterday, to me, he threw some good ones, but he also threw quite a few that stayed somewhat flat and just kind of faded side to side and didn't get that good downward tilt. The other thing that I think teams are doing is they're on his fastball inside, that up and in fastball. And, you know, we've seen the home run number go way up here over the last 2 months. And that's because they're on that inside fastball. To me, you got two choices. Either you run that fastball in a little farther and you let them keep swinging at it and maybe hooking it foul as opposed to hitting it in the seats or popping it up, or you make a little different adjustment and you go and run the fastball up away from the right-handed hitter. All right-handed hitter issues is what talking about. He's got to do something to get them off the speed of the split. That, to me, is the whole thing from the hitter's perspective. If you don't get me off the speed of the split and I can kind of, you know, the fastball is not making me do something to hit it, we see what happened last night where they can cover both pitches.
That's a tremendous explanation of what's going on with Shota Imanaga. That really is right there, the essence of it. Okay, so, Ron, when you look at the rest of the Cub lineup, does Moises Ballesteros make the playoff roster only if Kyle Tucker isn't healthy enough to go, or could he make the playoff roster in addition to Tucker coming back?
I hope he makes the roster. I don't know how you do that. You know, that's kind of one of those things. You know, it's a very difficult situation for Collins to come up with those last two roster spots, especially if Tucker's going to play, which I'm assuming Tucker's going to be on a playoff roster.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's something bad happens over the next 3 days, which obviously we hope that's not the case. I think Tuck is our DH here at the beginning, and we'll see where that goes from there. I like Ballesteros, man. I just think he showed over these last 2 weeks, kid can hit. We've known he can hit, but he's also handling the situation. He had at bats in the game two of this series where you got a guy throwing the ball well, and he knows he's got in his back pocket, which most of our team does not, that opposite field ground ball, line drive, base hit with a guy with great stuff to advance a runner, drive in a run, give you that approach that plays in October. People don't like to – they don't like talking about that in June and May and July and, you know, well, he's just going for a base hit. Yeah, because that's what we need. For God's sake, we don't need a guy striking out trying to hit a three-run homer. He's got to advance the runner. We need a quality at bat. He is able to do that. He just is. And I think that's important to have on a roster in October when the pitching gets better. I really do.
So I guess the question then, if Shota is plagued by these bad struggles early in the game. He's given up runs in the first inning in five of his last six starts. If he's plagued by the long ball, you know, with the two homers last night, mm-hmm. he's now given up two-plus homers in six of his last seven starts. What do you do with him come playoff time? I mean, I felt it was fairly obvious that if you got to an away game, maybe he was the guy that you would go to after – starting, and I don't know who. If it's the rookie, that's great. If it's Matthew Boyd, that's great. But I just, by the time you get to three, maybe that showed his term. Now I'm wondering if it's Jameson Taillon, who you thought might be working out of the bullpen because he's willing to do it. How do you take into account the struggles that Shota has had in terms of how you line up your rotation for the playoffs?
Well, that's a great question, and that's why Counts gets the big buck. You know, so they gotta figure this out and what they want to do. I think what happens is what I would do, it's not my decision. My thoughts would be you have not seen Shota pitch in the playoffs. I think he has done very well in big games. I really do. I think he's a guy that I think gets excited and gets the adrenaline rush of pitching big in big situations. I would give him the ball still. I would. And I would let him figure it out, and I would have a plan B, warming up if things start going south quick, and that would be Taillon. And that flips their lineup around to, you know, left to right, and now all of a sudden, you know, San Diego has their struggles, well, not major struggles, but some struggles against left-handed pitching. They've got some real boppers right-handed, we know that, but, you know, the other guys have had their struggles, so I think they're a game over 500 against lefties, and, you know, their power numbers aren't quite the same against left-handed pitching as opposed to right-handed pitching. Take that for what it's worth.
I thought it was really smart the way that Craig Counsell reintroduced Daniel Palencia into the equation the other night in the sixth inning. And I thought Daniel Palencia was a little bit better than I anticipated given the layoff and the injury. How do you envision him being used once the playoffs begin on Tuesday?
I would – oh, that's a good one. I would say probably – you know, I haven't given that a lot of thought, David. That's a good question. I would say not as the primary closer as of right now. I would say they may – that could change, though. You got three games against St. Louis, and, you know, depending on how the games go, that could change by the time we get to Tuesday. But as of today, Friday morning, before the St. Louis series, he's only pitched one time coming out of 14 days off. I would say right now he's not your primary closer, but that could change in 3 days, you know, as we get to Tuesday for the playoff game.
Ron, San Diego has a better home record than the Cubs do, and they are worse on the road than the Cubs are. So I just wonder, how important is it to get home field? The magic number remains two. You know, maybe they deliver a couple of losses for you, but it's been frustrating watching the struggle to get this done, losing six of seven. How important is this, and when will desperation kick in if it hasn't already?
I don't think there's desperation, because Pat made a good comment the other day off the air. Him and I were just talking about playoffs, and he said, he goes, what's the worst case scenario right now?
Right.
And I said, what are you talking about? Am I out of a job or what are we? So he goes, the worst case scenario is we have to go to San Diego and win two out of three. Don't want to do it, but that's the worst case scenario. I think you heard of Dansby talking a little bit to the team the last day or so. You know, so I think there is some, you know, the guys are feeling it a little bit. There's no doubt. But I don't think there's desperation. I think the one thing the council brings to the table that's very, very good, he brings a lot, but this in particular to this subject, is his consistency on the bench and in the clubhouse of being that, you know, kind of solid guy that doesn't have the big swings, you know. So I think that helps with that. But I, you know, there's got to be some grind, and you really, I will say this, you really want to have those games at home.
Yeah,
you really want to be playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at Wrigley Field as opposed to San Diego. I mean, big time. That's my opinion.
It's a really good answer to Pat's question, Ron, because we all know that your worst case scenario is you're out of Yingling.
At the bar?
If I run out of Yingling at my joint, someone's going to get fired. It's not going to be me because my name's on the door.
Coom, before we let you go, Coom.
So, I don't know.
Do you think that something out of the ordinary, like, say, Billy Hamilton becoming a part of the playoff roster is coming? Or do you think that was just a move the Cubs made to bring him to Iowa, and maybe he's in Arizona now as just in case of an emergency?
I think that's an emergency issue. I think the guys that are the question marks about possibly making a roster right now are in Chicago, would be my take. I would say the Ballesteros and some of those moves, you know, where he's played here now and been right in the heart of the lineup. I think he's that guy. I don't necessarily think you're looking at Arizona and saying, you know, one stolen base is going to be or two stolen bases in a three game series for the first round is going to change your roster. You know, maybe they're looking at it totally different, and that very well could be. I haven't given that, you know, that last roster spot a lot of thought, David, to be honest with you. But, I mean, think about it, but I'm looking at Ballesteros and those guys, not the stolen base thing. But we'll see, yeah. It could be, but that's why they signed him. But I would think it's more Ballesteros.
Great stuff, Ron. Always a joy. Really appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, Coom.
boys, we are going to have a very interesting weekend, and I'm watching the Ryder Cup, so we got a fun weekend ahead of us. Baseball and Ryder Cup.
How is America doing in the Ryder Cup at this point? Go America.
Guinness is flowing. We're down. Scheffler and Henley are down. Morikawa is down, and down five, down four, and down one. And yeah, so the America's not off. They're not
Shouldn't the golfers that live in America be forced to play for America? I don't get this. No. This whole thing's confusing.
You'd never have a European team then.
That's exactly right.
Orlando would be the desert. There'd be nobody there.
You're the best. Thank you. Thank you for the update too, buddy.
Thanks, Coom.
That's right, Coom.
Great weekend. Yep. Talk to you next week for sure.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.